In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen and subscribe.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. It's been such a great day. And I still have to discuss, you know, a little moving story about me. More punishment when it comes to the COVID stuff. I think they're trying one last effort to push Joe Biden out. Oh, that's so much more. Emails still to come on the Jesse Kelly Show. So it doesn't do me any pleasure to do what I'm about to do. Everyone knows that I am friends with Clay and Buck. Or I should say I have been friends with Clay and Buck. And I, on a personal level, friends. It's not just a professional thing. Like, we're personal friends. We used to text and things like that. I don't think that's going to continue anymore. But anyway, here's what happened today. In fact, I got this email. I was not aware of it. I'm going to thank this emailer. His name is Ryan for letting me know. Dear Bean Hater, I just heard Clay and Buck chime in on their personal favorites as far as best candy bar. That's the subject, best candy bar. So as the food connoisseur you are, what's your go-to candy bar if you have to grab one at the gas station? If you're curious as to Clay and Buck's picks, and I can't believe that what I'm about to read. In fact, I emailed Clay and Buck about this. You should know, not emailed, texted them to confirm, and I have confirmation. So this is real. This Ryan's not a liar. Clay says he's not a candy bar guy, but he usually goes for peanut M&Ms. But if he had to pick a candy bar, he'd go for Twix. Buck, I can't. Look, it is what it is. I'm just going to come out and say it. Buck's was Lindt milk chocolate bar. A Lindt, like the fancy ones, L-I-N-D-T. And the guy says, because of course he would. What say you? Okay. let's deal with Clay right off the bat. Of course, peanut M&Ms do not count as a candy bar at all. Twix is at least a vaguely acceptable answer. Twix are okay, but chocolate peanut butter is superior to chocolate caramel, and this is one of those things that everyone knows, and Clay claims to be this patriotic American, but apparently he doesn't know about that, chocolate peanut butter. Twix also has the thing, the caramels for children, and let me explain why caramels for children. Because as you get older, it starts getting caught in your teeth and stuff like that, and you don't like it anymore. So, look, obviously it's a ridiculous answer. It's a bad answer. It's really, really bad. I don't want to come down too hard on Clay. It's kind of acceptable, but it's a ridiculous answer. I want to focus more on Buck. Lindt milk chocolate bar? I don't know that I've ever seen a Lindt milk chocolate bar. That's one. Two, Buck, do you think Buck has ever had, Chris, Michael, I'm curious, you think Buck has ever had a Reese's peanut butter cup? Ever? Yes, it is a candy bar. What do you mean, Chris? What do you call it, a candy puck? It's a candy bar. Michael, it's a candy bar. Yes, it is. I don't care that it's round. Bars can be round. You've never been to a round bar? I've been to plenty of them. I was at one in Nashville. What, Chris? Anyway, bars can be round. It definitely counts Reese's peanut. And Reese's peanut butter cups are vastly superior to those. And if not Reese's, then it's got to be Butterfinger. Butterfinger has been a staple of American society since George Washington fought off the British. A Lindt can? I don't even think that's American. That sounds like something ridiculous. Who are these guys? Biggest radio show in America. Gosh, give me a friggin' break. All right, let's talk back about some punishment stuff before we move on. So a lot of this stuff going on in the news right now about punishment and whatnot. And this is why I ranted and have been ranting so hard about COVID reckoning. And what do I mean by a COVID reckoning for you new listeners? I'm talking about punishment, legitimate, tangible punishment for the politicians, for the medical people, the scientists, for media people. There needs to be punishment for these people so future tyrants won't do what the COVID tyrants did to us. There has to be punishment of some kind. And I'm not naive. I know that punishment is probably never going to come. And why isn't that punishment going to come? Why is it never going to come? The real answer is because the voters don't want it. You may want it. I may want it. But in general, the American people, they are not white hot with rage over COVID lockdowns. In fact, they really never have been. They may have been uncomfortable. They may have, a few people may have been frustrated. And I know, I'm not talking about you, the hyper-informed. I know you were angry. I'm talking about the norms and normas out there. There was never a white hot outrage aimed at COVID lockdowners. All of them got reelected. Every one of them. They all got reelected. There was never a public appetite for publicly flogging, legally, the people who pushed this tyranny on us. So we never got a reckoning. And that's one of the main reasons. The other main reason we'll never get a COVID reckoning is everyone's guilty. It's one of those things. If everyone's guilty, who do you punish and who's going to do the punishing? One of the smartest emails I've ever gotten, and I've gotten a few of these, is when I'm calling for COVID lockdowns, people will email in and they'll just ask the basic question. Okay, Jesse, I agree. Who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Republicans? Do you need me to play montages of Republicans selling you vaccines? Republicans telling you to wear masks? Republicans, shoot, I played for you yesterday. Republican Kay Ivey was just like Joe Biden, blaming the pandemic on the unvaccinated. Who's going to, so Republicans can't, they don't have a leg to stand on there. None of them do. They have a leg to stand on there. Well, I take that back. There's like four of them. Rand Paul, Thomas Massey, a couple, but most of them don't have a leg to stand on at all. Democrats, they push the whole thing. Doctors, I mean, you understand there's no place for it to come from, but we need it. We have to have it. Otherwise, we get all this crap. Remember Andrew Cuomo, former governor of New York? Andrew Cuomo is as responsible for the deaths, or I should, I'll put it to you this way. Andrew Cuomo killed 15,000 seniors with his COVID policy in New York. He had a policy of putting COVID-positive people in nursing homes. The people who were vulnerable to COVID were old people. Andrew Cuomo essentially sent poison into nursing homes and killed 15,000 New Yorkers. How many New Yorkers listening to the sound of my voice right now lost mom or lost dad because of Andrew Cuomo? It's a lot. It's a lot. And Andrew Cuomo's out there now saying things like this.
Well, I believe if government were to now say, we just made a finding that there's a new virus and everyone should do X, Y, and Z, the amount of compliance with X, Y, and Z would be much, much lower than it was at the beginning of COVID, because people do not trust the government, especially on this issue.
I'm gonna let him keep going, but listen to how he talks about it, almost as if he's separating himself out from that trust. It's your fault. And this is how so many revisionist historians operate. They act as if it was something that happened, not something they did. Stalin was actually masterful at this. He's one of the greatest at this. I mean, worst, but greatest, you know what I mean? Stalin would have these huge purges because he was always worried about his political opponents, someone taking away his power. And so Stalin would have his henchmen go just start executing people by the tens of thousands. He'd go into a province, a region, and he'd say, all right, 50,000 people dead, get it done. And he'd just have all these people killed. And eventually the public would be mad or there'd be some kind of outcry. And Stalin would get up and be all, I cannot believe this happened. I am going to dig into whoever did these things and there's going to be punishment. And then he'd take the guys who he ordered to go kill everyone and he'd put them on trial and he'd have them executed. And then he'd rinse and repeat it. He'd do it again and again and again. This is what these people do. The public, oh, you're right about that, Andrew Cuomo. I mentioned it a million times during COVID. One of the many reasons all this insanity is bad is what are we going to do in the future if a real big boy virus comes knocking? And it might. Or these plagues, these diseases are the common theme throughout history. There's always one floating out there that can wipe you out. Well, next time, who's going to believe them? You? Me? Yeah, you know I ain't. All right, I'm going to let him finish in a moment. We'll talk about more about this punishment stuff and get to more emails and several things like that. Before we do that, this is part of the reason I am grateful for some of the COVID stuff, though. And the reason I'm grateful is it woke me up to so many things. It really, really woke me up to the pharma industry in this country. And I'm not anti-medicine, right? I understand there are so many medicines that improve lives and save lives, but our big pharma industry is really, really bad, and it's really evil. And I started looking for more natural ways to improve things. That's how I got to know Chalk. You know how I got to know Chalk? They were getting banned on social media because they were so against COVID lockdowns and masking and stuff. That's how hardcore Chalk is. So that's where we found each other. And I discovered the Male Vitality Stack, natural herbal supplements that jack your T levels through the roof, gentlemen. You want to feel like $1 million, more energy, better mood. Ladies, they have female vitality stacks for you. Start some natural herbal supplements. Nature first. Natural first. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday, reminding you that tomorrow is an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday, and we are going to have a blast. Send me your questions now. Email them in, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Ask me anything. Right, let's get back to this punishment stuff, and I'm going to move off this quickly because I have a bunch of other stuff I want to get to. But look, we could go down the list here. Headline, Legacy Media acknowledges possible injury from the COVID vaccine. Really? Acknowledges possible injury. That's good. That's from the Daily Wire. But where was that at the time? No questioning. And they're doing this thing now where they play dumb. You remember? Remember, this was a conversation Don Lemon had. You know what? I'll finish the Andrew Cuomo thing in just a moment because I want to come back to this really quickly. Don Lemon and Chris Cuomo said this.
People who are injecting drugs for animals and horse.
And people telling them to. Oh
my. That was Chris Cuomo. Now Chris Cuomo's out there saying this.
I am taking what do they call it? Like a regular dose, you know, whatever. They're trying to build up of ivermectin. It's cheap. It's not owned by anybody, and it's used as an antimicrobial, antiviral, in all of these different ways, and has been for a long time. They were wrong to play scared on that. Didn't know that at the time. Know it now. Admit.
They didn't know. We didn't know. I knew. There was all kinds of information out there. Back to the Andrew Cuomo thing. Listen to this.
Your right to go out for a walk in the park? Fine. Don't infect me. You don't have a right to infect me. If you are going to be in a situation in public where you may come into contact with other people in a situation that is not socially distanced, you must have a mask.
Now, Andrew Cuomo today.
I believe if government were to now say we just made a finding that there's a new virus and everyone should do X, Y, and Z. The amount of compliance with X, Y, and Z would be much, much lower than it was at the beginning of COVID, because people do not trust the government, especially on this issue, the way they did at the beginning. And that would be a complicating factor, right? When you have people who just don't listen, because government had no capacity to enforce any of this. You must wear a mask. And people wore masks in New York. But if they said, I'm not wearing a mask, there was nothing I could do about it. You must close your private business. I won't. Well, there was nothing I could really do about it. It was really all voluntary, and it was extraordinary.
I'm going to let this go before I get upset, but why are they getting away with this now? The Cuomo brothers, everybody, Burks is out there talking about vaccine injuries. I mean, all of them. Why are they getting away with it now? They're getting away with it now because we didn't punish them yesterday. And what they're going to do now is they're all going to scrub what they did. They're all going to absolve themselves of any responsibility. Well, I mean, I couldn't have even enforced it. Well, we didn't know. Well, this and that. And they're going to ride off into the sunset. The people who have abused us without end and really altered America in permanent ways. What we did during COVID altered America in ways that we still have not come back from. Will we ever? I don't know. But the people who did it are never going to own it because we didn't punish them for it. Punishment is good and right, and it is necessary if you want to have a just planet, a just society. That's a fact. All right, let's get to some emails before I get to other things, including a story, God looking out for me, and, well, you know what? And Joe Biden, I think the system is getting ready to try to push him out one more
time. And if you look at the data, these demonstrations are real, but they're not nearly. I mean, look, and everybody's. I made a speech on the Holocaust the other day.
What? Jesse Bilingual Kelly. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Should we be a bit worried that Trump seems to consistently get only 78 to 80% of the primary vote against nobody? Some of this 20% are not going to come home this November. This literally could cost him a close election. Okay, well, let's cover this. We talked about it before, but let's cover this again. In general, historically, and we talked about this during the primary, how it has always worked is people in a heated primary, they all dig their heels in and say, I'm voting for my guy and I'm never voting for that guy. I'm never voting for him. Since Trump's the nominee, we'll make it about Trump. There were all kinds of people in the primary process, DeSantis people, Nikki Haley people, maybe you're one of them. I'm digging in. I'm never voting for Trump. And I'm never voting for Trump. No matter what, I'm never voting for Trump. And yes, obviously, some of those people are telling the truth. If you said that, I believe you. You probably aren't telling the truth. And that's fine. That's your choice. But historically, everyone comes home. Most people, not everyone, most people come back home and vote for the nominee. That is how it's gone every single time. They all swear they won't, and in the end, they always do. I'm on my life, I swear I've said it before too, that I'm not voting for that. I'm not voting for Romney if we nominate him. I friggin' voted for Romney. I bet you money I said it out loud. If I didn't, I thought it. But I came home too. But that brings us to the primaries now, and this is something I brought up on the show. It is a cause for concern. It is. Why are we still losing 20%? Why is Trump still losing 20% of the Republican vote in all these primary states when he's the nominee? Everyone else has dropped out. We'll talk about that briefly, and then we'll get to some other things in just a moment. Before we talk about those other things, let's talk about rough greens. Let's talk about keeping our dogs alive. Nutrition. You see, we need nutrition. Don't you take something every day? Or if you don't take vitamins or something like that, do you not make sure that you get that nutrition from your diet every day? Even I do that. We do that for ourselves, and then we give our dogs dog food that doesn't have any nutrition in it at all. So let me tell you this. Rough Greens was created by a naturopathic doctor, Dennis Black. It's made specifically for dogs. He's a dog freak. He loves them. It has everything your dog needs to live healthier and longer. Start your dog on Rough Greens. You'll see differences in your dog's coat, energy, behavior, joints. Call them. Free jumpstart trial bags at 833-33-MY-DOG or go to roughgreens.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Is he smarter than everyone?
Who knows?
Does he think so? Yeah. The Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency.
Did you make a mistake in sending arms to Tehran, sir?
No.
It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
And I'm not taking any more questions. In just a second, I'm going to ask Attorney General.
I'm Leon Neyfakh, co-creator of Slow Burn. In my podcast, Fiasco, Iran-Contra, you'll hear all the unbelievable details of a scandal that captivated the nation nearly 40 years ago, but which few of us still remember today.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Who wouldn't want to live like a refugee in America? You get free housing, free food, free everything. You even get your own special language in school. That's for another day. Let's move on. I want to tell you this little story before we get back to the other news and stuff like that. Just a little side issue. Before I tell you that little story, though, one of my buddies sent me this, and I actually ended up playing it. I'm going to play it on my TV show tonight. This is an old news broadcast. I have no idea why I'm playing it other than the fact that it's just pants wetting funny. This is a local news story about a bomb threat.
Some scary moments for customers at a Kansas Home Depot. Police responded to reports of a bomb threat at the store in Wichita. A customer alerted employees. A man inside the bathroom said there was a bomb in the building. Police were able to locate the man responsible for those comments, and that man told police he warned other guests to leave the restroom because he was, quote, fixing to blow it up, but had no intention of causing a panic. Man also told police others in the room laughed. Understanding is
they called the cops. You know who does that in a public restroom anyway? You know what, let's move on. So I saw this headline today and it jogged some memories for me, and I'll get to the headline in a moment. I'll just tell you a little story first, the one that older listeners will know but new listeners may not. So I'll give you a little background. So I get out of the Marine Corps. This is 2004. And I grew up in a construction family, and I went back to work in construction. That's just what I was doing. And I ended up getting involved in politics because I started reading a lot more, and I was traveling for construction. I started running for Congress. Decided to run for Congress out of the blue. I'd never been political. I almost won. 4,000 votes. I almost won. End up losing. But I want to stay in the fight. Like, I have this real desire to fight for the country. I want to stay in the fight. I didn't want to give it up. I didn't want to run for Congress anymore. I didn't want to be a politician, but I wanted to stay in the fight. So I decided to take a political job in Washington, D.C. I was living in Arizona at the time, moved to Washington, D.C. I took a political job there, just one of these conservative organizations just fighting for it. While I loved being in the fight, I hated living in D.C. We had two small kids at the time, and it's just so blue, and everyone was so rude. And D.C. has a lot of cool sites. I'd recommend you visit if you can manage not to get shot and stabbed. But it's just everyone's so rude. Now, I don't want to make myself sound like some kind of bumpkin, but I grew up in Montana, and maybe it's changed since then. But I will tell you, as a rule in Montana, this is not an abnormality. As a rule, if you're on a two-lane road, you know, so just you and the cars coming the other way, you wave at everyone on the way by, and they wave back at you. You're not some weird, super friendly freak. It's what you're done. Now, it may just be to raise a finger up off the steering wheel or raise a couple fingers off, but there is an acknowledgement of the person coming the other way. That's where I grew up. We moved to Montana when I was 10. That's what I grew up with. In D.C., they don't even hold the door open for you. If you hold it open for someone else, you're never getting a thank you. They'll probably scowl at you or something. And I lasted a year, and I'd had enough, and my wife had had enough. And I knew I wasn't supposed to be there. We weren't supposed to be there. So I quit my job with no job, and I threw the family in a minivan. That's what we had at the time. And we started driving across the country. I didn't even know what I wanted to do. I was just looking for work. Various political organizations. I mean, you name it. I was turning in my resume. I just needed to find a way to pay the bills. We end up in Asheville, North Carolina. Asheville, North Carolina. And because our kids were so small and there was so much time in the car, we were always looking for public parks where we could stop and let them run and play. They're boys. They got to run and burn it off. Let them run and roughhouse and play and whatever it may be. We're in Asheville, North Carolina. I've never been there before. And we just fall in love with the place. This is 15 years ago. Probably not quite that. But it's probably pretty close to 15 years ago. We just fall in love with it. It's such a cool little town. And we are so in love with Asheville that we decide right then and there, that's where we want to move. Normally, we were spending a day or two in these various towns we liked, turn in a couple resumes, hope for a callback. You don't get anything. You move on. Let's drive on to the next state. Let's keep driving. We were so in love with Asheville, we kept extending our stay there, desperate to try to find work. We were so desperate, and we loved it so much that if I'd been offered even a relatively crappy job that maybe couldn't, I mean, paying the bills would be hard, we were going to take it, and we were just going to try to coupon clip our way through it, and we were just going to try to chop away, right? I wanted it so bad. I just wanted to move to Asheville so bad, and we couldn't get a call back, nothing. And I remember the day. I remember driving down the road. I remember the day we were leaving town. We were heading out of Asheville. We'd failed. How devastated we both were. We were just crushed. Man, this was our spot. We had found our spot, and we were in love with it. Even the park was great. We stopped at this great park there for the boys, and everything was perfect, and we just pulled out totally bummed. Bummed. End up moving, whatever, to Texas. The rest of the story is the rest of the story. We'll go into that another time. But I'm looking at this. I woke up today to this headline from Breitbart. Asheville Reparations Commission recommends guaranteed income program. I had a buddy. I have a buddy who lives in Asheville now. He moved there after I was there. And he told me, especially during the Black Lives Matter thing, that Asheville turned bad, really, really bad. He said it was getting really, really bad and getting really, really bad. And then after the St. George Floyd riots, Asheville is awful. He has his house for sale as we speak in Asheville because Asheville, in the last 15 years, has turned. I went to the communists. You know, they found some wonderful little community. And like they always do, the dirty commies, it was always a little lefty, you know, kind of like those Austin cities, but the dirty commies figured out they had choke points they could seize in this lovely little town, and now it's break-ins, it's misery, it's bad. It's really, really, really bad. And it makes me sad for Asheville and the people who live there. And I know it probably doesn't apply to 99% of people. They won't ever move there. But I saw this headline and it did make me sad, but it also put a smile on my face. It's funny how God looks out for you from time to time. How when you want something and you're denied it, you're mad and it hurts and you can't believe it. And Asheville was where we were supposed to be. And then you look back on it and you think, dang, God was really looking out for us on that one, huh? Anyway, let's talk about the system. I think they're going to make one last effort to push Joe Biden out. Did you see this latest interview?
The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
We've already turned it around. Look at the Michigan survey. For 65% of American people think they're in good shape economically. They think the nation's not in good shape, but they're personally in good shape. The polling data has been wrong all along. No president's had the run we've had in terms of creating jobs and bringing down inflation. It was 9%.
When's the last time you heard a reporter ask him a question like that? And if you thought that was bad, what do you hear what CNN pulled after? Hang on.
Miss something?
There's a podcast.
Get it on demand wherever podcasts are found. The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Thursday. I am so excited. I'm excited that we might have one last push to prove me right. That's the most important thing in life, isn't it? Me being right about stuff. Remember a while ago, and I said this many times, so everyone will remember how I said I didn't think Biden was going to be the nominee. My thinking of it was this. The system is not loyal to any one person. The system's loyal to the system. Joe Biden is simply a tool. He's been an outstanding tool for them. He's been the most successful Democrat president in history just with all the illegals he's brought in. He's ensured gains for them for decades and decades and decades. But he is unpopular now, and they don't risk power for any amount of loyalty. They don't have loyalty to individuals. And so I always thought they were going to push him out. But it's getting late in the game, isn't it? Now, to truth be told, I always thought they were going to push him out at the convention. You know, we haven't had the convention yet. You have to have the convention to push him out. But either way, so I could turn out to be right on that. But the effort to really push him out, to hound him out, it kind of died. Remember it flared up for a while and we could see it. He was getting real hard criticism and they were coming down on him. And then it went away. As soon as Trump became the nominee, they kind of backed off of all that and said, okay, whoa, we got bigger fish to fry now. We got to take down Trump. It's immediately what they did. I'm getting the impression, because of the consistently terrible poll numbers of Joe Biden, I'm getting the impression they're going to make one last push at it, and it might be a vicious one. I played this before. Let me play it for you again. Just forget about his stupid answer. Listen to the question. The media doesn't ask Democrats questions like this. This is how they ask Republican questions, where they give long speeches about why you're a piece of trash, and then they ask you to defend it.
The cost of buying a home in the United States is double what it was when you look at your monthly costs from before the pandemic. Real income, when you account for inflation, is actually down since you took office. Economic growth last week, far short of expectations. Consumer confidence, maybe no surprise, is near a two-year low. With less than 6 months to go to Election Day, are you worried that you're running out of time to turn that around?
His answer doesn't even matter. That's a speech. That's what they do to Republicans to make Republicans look stupid. And of course, Republicans go along with it. Well, I mean, Susie, you know, we round up every single time instead of fighting back. But they don't do that to Democrats. And they definitely don't do that to Joe Biden. Then CNN backed it up with this, something that I've been talking about forever. We've been discussing it on this show, how cold this administration is when people are struggling. You can tell them lots of things. You're sorry. You'll work to make it better. You're angry with them. One thing you cannot do, should never do, is tell them that they're great.
But you ask them what life is like, and they can't buy a bigger house because of mortgage rates. They still, when you talk about grocery prices. Right. And so the president has to be careful here. That sounds like somebody in Washington telling people you're wrong, and whatever your party is, voters don't process it that way. They don't like that.
Definitely don't like being told they're wrong, because it's how they're actually experiencing.
And that's how he does. That's how they've done it time and time again. They keep bringing up the economic issues people are suffering from, and they keep blowing them off. Now, it's not like they can change it or even want to change it. Remember, the end goal is to burn down the country, but you can't say that. You can't go to somebody whose dog just got run over in front of him in the street and say, oh, it's not even that sad. That's the one thing you can't say in that moment. You can't do it. And by the way, it wasn't just CNN. They're going after
him. It was 9% when I came to office. 9%.
Inflation was actually 1.4% when Biden was sworn in, peaking at 9.1% in June 2022. In New York City, one survey found rent is rising 7 times faster than wages. In California, a condo in West Hollywood just sold for a record-smashing $24 million. Food costs also playing a role. Grocery prices are up 26% since 2019. And fast food prices are up 33%. Many consumers saying enough is enough.
I don't mean to be broke, but for an 8-count mini and a lemonade, $14?
I joked that this was fine dining now because I might as well go at a sit-down restaurant and be served if I'm going to pay.
I think they're going to make another run at getting him out. And I can see, can't you see, hear me out. This is just a theory, and maybe I fully acknowledge this might just be me coping, trying to be right about my prediction that I said he wouldn't be the nominee. And if I'm wrong, I end up owing Buck a steak. I have to buy Buck Sexton a steak because we have a bet on it. What, Chris? Oh, Chris, yeah, you're 100% right. I'm going to find the most low-end place to take him. You know how fancy Buck is. We're rolling right into Waffle House for steak and eggs. And I'll be, hey, I promised. And I can't wait to see the look on his face when they pull the steaks out of the bags, out of the fridge, and start slicing them open and throwing them on the grill. It's going to be hilarious. Anyway, so what I'm about to say might be cope. It might be. But hear me out. Biden is getting it both barrels from the media. He's unpopular. He's down in the polls. He's also got these protests that are all over the news, and they're protesting him. He's the one calling the shots. They're super mad at Joe Biden. So the Democratic Jewish support is mad at him. The Democratic Muslim support mad at him. The people who can't afford a meal are mad at him. Everyone's mad at Joe Biden. He's unpopular. He's unpopular. He's unpopular. He's unpopular. What if they simply dump him at the convention because they took all the problems they're having, dropped them in Joe's lap, and then wheeled him out the back of the White House? You bring in a fresh face, a fresh Democrat, whoever that may be. He's not the one who ruined the economy. That was Joe. He's not the one who blew up the whole Israel-Palestine situation. That was Joe. He's not the one who did this. He's not the one who did that. It was all Joe Biden. It wasn't me. I'm Gavin Newsom. I'm just here to help. What, Chris? Oh, crap, you're right. Chris told me to stop giving him ideas. I should shut up. All right, I'm going to shut up about that. We're going to move on to some other things. I'm going to talk about the FBI real quick because they're ramping things up. Another revealing moment just happened. GOP tried a citizenship bill. We'll go over those things in a moment. Before we do that, let's talk about you and me and how we sleep. I sleep surrounded by my pillow. I do. It's embarrassing. I have my pillow pillows, my pillow sheets, my pillow mattress topper. My wife sleeps in my pillow pajamas, my pillow sandals. We both have those. It's a my pillow household, and it's friggin' awesome because my pillow makes the best stuff. And because every time I buy something from my pillow, I know I'm not patronizing a company who hates me. That's what feels the best. I know that my pillow. They've lost a fortune fighting for you, for me, for our values. MyPillow has a $25 extravaganza sale right now. If you've been wanting to be surrounded by MyPillow like me, go. Two packs of multi-use MyPillows, $25. MyPillow sandals, $25. Six-piece towel sets, $25. The premium MyPillow, $25. You order $75 worth of stuff, you get free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener special square and use the promo code Jesse and get yourself some MyPillow, all right? All right, let's talk about what the FBI is doing and why they're doing it. We're going to discuss the religion of communism and so much more next hour. Hang on.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast's like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
In the fall of 1986, Ronald Reagan found himself at the center of a massive scandal that looked like it might bring down his presidency. It became known as the Iran-Contra affair.
The things that happened were so bizarre and insane, I can't begin to tell you.
Please do.
To hear the whole story, listen to Fiasco, Iran-Contra on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.